It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're counting you live for the Build 4 Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Wednesday morning. We had some combine interviews yesterday. Joe Shane spoke. You had Mooj speaking. Mooj, they're not booing. They're saying Mooj. Aaron Glenn also spoke. And I don't want to be right about our assessment of who the Jets hired and how we wanted someone with experience, both as a general manager and a head coach. And it can't be a first-time head coach, a first-time GM, and a staff filled with guys that are first-timers, and then maybe bringing another young quarterback. You can't do it again. I really don't want to be right. But, man, yesterday, those two press conferences that they had, they did not get off to a good start. And that's being kind. Both of them did not get off to a good start. They're learning. They're learning on the job. They'll get better at these things, I hope. But, man, I just feel like we're doing the same thing all over again. Maybe that's because we are. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. It's a rookie head coach. It's a rookie GM. It's a rookie offensive coordinator. Maybe it will be Tyrod Taylor to start the season and then a rookie quarterback to take over.
Yeah.
And we've been down this road before with the Jets, and it didn't work out well. But I will say this. For those guys, it is really their first foray into in front of the national media. It's a big deal. You know, the combine is a big deal for them. They're both there, which I appreciated. And the fact that Aaron Glenn was a scout when he first started as getting back into the NFL after he was done playing, I could appreciate that he wants to be there. You know, Rob Saleh hadn't been there the last few years, and some coaches don't like to go there because they feel like they're badgered by other coaches for jobs and things of that nature, much like at the Senior Bowl.
Sure.
And they feel like this is really the scouts and the general managers that really need to be there. The coaches don't need to be there. But it really makes me feel that Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji really are on the same page, and they're trying to make sure that they have a consensus on players that they're looking at and that the type of players that they want. So that I do appreciate. But, yeah, I couldn't help but watch Darren Mooji, as you pointed it out this morning, because I wasn't even thinking about it yesterday. And then this morning you pointed it out. And he has a thing about using his hands about everything. And it's almost like Kamala Harris-like.
It's, you know, very, I mean? It's politician-esque. It's very, it is.
But I'm just telling you, like, he's grabbing things out of the air and bringing them together. And you know, patting his heart. And I mean, it is. I didn't realize it watching him yesterday, but when I came in this morning and you said, what do you think he's doing with his hands? I said, well, look, this is the first foray into this. He'll learn because, you know, obviously somebody, well, you in this case, will bring it up, the fact that he uses his hands quite a bit when he talks.
But it's like he uses his hands not in a way that New Yorkers use their hands. Like, he's using his hands in a full of crap politician way. And that's the thing that's bothering me about it, is the fact that he does this thing where he clenches a fist. And then he clenches his other fist, then he brings them together. Like, he did that twice, where he's like, so what we have is we got the coaches here, right fist. We got the front office people here, left fist. And then we come together. He brings the fists together. And we come together. Yeah. And then he goes, and then we'll put it up, and he puts his hand way up in the air. Put it up on the whiteboard here. We got it up on the whiteboard here. And I'm like, stop! I mean, look, act like a human! So, I mean, now if he picks the right players, then the guy's going to be a hero here. And
that's all that really matters.
Right, none of this matters, but it's just when you're trying to get a first impression, are these guys going to be the guys? And you got him. He's like, you know, I want them to know me. And he's putting his hand on his heart. I want them to know me. And, you know, the whiteboard is not just me. It's me and here and the scouting and here and the boom and and the USAID and here. God! And then,
yes,
know,
I understand what you're saying. Now that I went back and watched it, I didn't realize it when I saw it first.
Well, what I said to you too is like, watch this and tell me what you think. You know, so I'm watching it and I'm laughing, and then you put it on and you're seeing the same stuff and you're laughing.
Yes, yeah, I know. I'm like, all right. Okay. So I mean, these guys are all new to this, and they'll understand it too. And the other thing too. By the way, I would not believe anything that anybody says at any of these press conferences at the combine. Nobody really wants to truly lay out their cards about what's going on and how things have gone down. Especially, like, I heard Tiki and Evan were talking about this yesterday. Evan, as a Jet fan, said he wanted more about the Aaron Rodgers discussion, and I was just thinking to myself, if I were in Aaron Glenn's situation or Darren Mooji's situation, I would have done exactly what they did. Guys, he's not on the team anymore. He's not going to be on the team anymore. We're done talking about it. And I, you know, we don't have to talk about it anymore. He's gone. He's going to be somewhere else, and we wish him nothing but the best. You know, these are young guys coming in trying to recreate a culture, and there's I thought maybe that they would have thought about keeping Aaron, but then the more I thought of it and the more I thought about Aaron's conversation with Pat McAfee at the end of December about being the first time being released and then being released by a teenager.
Yeah.
That was a shot right across the bow of Woody Johnson and Brick Johnson, his 18-year-old son, who the story came out about, the Madden ratings and the trading of Jerry Jeudy and things of that nature. I don't know how true that is. I don't know how accurate that stuff is. But the fact that Aaron made a joke about it on national television basically sealed his fate. Because the one thing I do know about Woody Johnson, you can say whatever you want. You may not like him as an owner. You might find him awkward. You may not like his politics. But the one thing I will say about him, he's a serious guy. And, you know, family is off limits, man, for all of us. I mean, it really is. Mm-hmm. And Diana Russini and was it Rosenblatt?
Zach Rosenblatt.
I think they're the ones who dragged, Brick Johnson into this mm-hmm. conversation and everything else. For whatever reason, they were doing their job. I'm not saying they were wrong. I'm just saying they're doing their job. But once Aaron Rodgers did that on McAfee, goodbye, see ya. And, they could have, Woody could have said all he wanted to say this offseason about, it's not my decision. It's going to be the coaches and general manager's decision. That decision was made that day.
Yeah.
At least in my eyes, that's how I feel that whole thing went down. And so you're not going to hear any more about Aaron Rodgers. And I think Evan did bring up a good point, or one of the guys on the show brought up a good point yesterday, that, yes, you will hear only about Aaron Rodgers if Aaron Rodgers decides to go back and revisit what happened somewhere along the line here. Or is he just going to look forward and forget the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, it really kind of depends on what he wants to put out there and how he wants to be perceived. And, if it's true that he was groveling to the Jets, which I find hard to believe that he'd be groveling to the Jets to keep him, then he might not want to talk about it because it's embarrassing for him. But if he feels like the reporting has been bad and inaccurate, then he will set the record straight, because that's what he does. And as far as Aaron Glenn talking about Aaron Rodgers, I mean, this is the thing that I would tell him if I were the PR person. So, he actually said in his press conference, it's pissing me off that we're just talking about the quarterback and it's a disrespect to the other players in the locker room. No, it's not, man. You got to understand that these questions are going to be asked. And it's not a disrespect to the other guys in the locker room that people are asking questions about the quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the number one market. That's the most important position in sports. You had one of the most famous guys to ever play the position who you just got rid of.
He didn't have him.
Okay. Doesn't matter. They decided to get rid of him, and it's still a part of the story. And for him to think that because people are asking questions about the quarterback and where you're going to go with the quarterback and the Aaron Rodgers stuff, and he thinks that you're disrespecting, like he said, Quinnen Williams and Quincy Williams and AVT and these guys. No, you're not. Nobody's saying that those guys aren't important to the team.
By the way, a lot of those guys wanted Aaron Rodgers back.
Yeah, especially Quinnen Williams, who put it out there on X and said, yeah, I guess we're going through another rebuild.
So. Yeah, and I think that Aaron Glenn's trying to move as far away from Aaron Rodgers in that discussion as he possibly can. And I would be doing the same thing. My simple thing is, listen, guys, Aaron's not a part of our team. I'm done talking about it. It's over with. We have to move forward. We have to find the right players. We'll figure the quarterback situation out as we go on. And those are all the simple steps that we have to take. And that's about it. I am not going to go into a player who is no longer with us. And I was never with him.
Yeah, well, that's a better answer than what Aaron Glenn gave.
Well, I understand Aaron's. So Aaron, from my perspective, it seems like he's gonna battle with the media, and he is going to try to be a tough guy, kind of like Parcells was, kind of like Sean Payton is, and kind of like Dan Campbell is. Although Dan Campbell doesn't come off as a guy that really bullies the media, the other guys do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Remember who this is the world he's coming from. Like, I have to be large and in charge. I have to be the guy. Mm. And so that, he is not Liam Cohen down
no,
in
no,
Jacksonville.
No, he is not.
He's not going to be that guy. He's right. going to, you got to remember who he has been around, what he has seen, and he has watched some really, really good coaches who are Hall of Fame, who will be Hall of Fame eligible. Depending on what Dan Campbell does in Detroit, maybe he will be too. Who knows? But at the end of the day, he's been around guys who have been successful, and he is going to mimic that the way that he thinks he needs to mimic it. I'm just telling that. And yeah, that's exactly what I would do.
Right, but I trying to be Bill Parcells is a great thing. I also think that, you know, kind of battling with things that people are saying that you don't like is a losing battle. It really is. Like, you can't get emotional about the fact that people care about the quarterback position. You got to know that. You got to understand that.
Oh, he knows that.
It doesn't seem like it. Well, it seemed like he was, like, shocked that people could still care that much about the quarterback. And now all these other guys on the roster should feel disrespected that the media is focusing so much on the quarterback position.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, that's not the way it goes. So let's try to learn a little something from this press conference and not do something like that again, because it looks like you're wrapped up in what everybody is saying. And if you're that person, then you've got no shot. If you're the person reading all the columns and all the ex posts and all the beat writers and seeing what you don't like, then you might as well just put all your stuff in a cardboard box today. Because just to save it for the 2 years after you get canned. Got to forget about that stuff. Can't care about what the people are saying around you. You just can't. And not everybody who blocks out the media is successful. Like Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, they block out the media really well. And they haven't been successful.
That's true.
But they'd be less successful if they were paying attention to what everybody was saying.
Yeah, and now at least we got a little bit of an update on Matthew Stafford, especially from Sean McVay. Again, I don't believe anything anybody is saying right now. I wouldn't believe anything that anybody is saying right now. This is silly season in the NFL, and everybody's trying to get their ducks in a row. And I would say that with Sean McVay, you know, we want Matthew Stafford to be our quarterback. Well, if you want him to be your quarterback, then why are you allowing him to go and see what other teams would give him in a trade package? Like, so they want to give Matthew Stafford a raise for sure. They just don't want to go up to what I think he wants and what he thinks he's worth. But then again, like, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. If you're Sean McVay, you're saying he's a great player and we really want him. But, you know, I have to balance the future, and I have to look at the short term versus the long term.
Well, it's like the Mets with Pete Alonso. Like, the Mets wanted Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso wanted to be with the Mets, but for a certain price. And that's the way it finally worked out. Like, I don't think that that's shocking. I don't think he's even being hypocritical. I'm sure he really does want to. He wants Matthew Stafford, but for a particular price. It's like buying a car.
And who reached out to Matthew Stafford's agents?
Who reached out to? I don't know.
Tom Brady. Brady did.
Okay.
And so the Raiders are obviously interested. And, you know, like I was telling you yesterday, if you had your choice between the Raiders and the Giants, and they both were willing to trade for Matthew Stafford, both willing to give up similar assets, and both were willing to pay Matthew Stafford the same amount of money, where are you going?
Oh, yeah, I would probably go to Vegas, yes.
Well, yeah, because there's no state tax.
Well, and also, I mean, I feel like the perception of the Giants right now is it's just a really bad spot in their organization. Like, they're a great organization over their history. Right now, they're at a massive low point, and it doesn't feel like an operation that I would want to join.
Yeah. So I don't know whether, you know, Sean McVay is like, yeah, he's a great player. He's really a great player, but we have to balance the future and all this other stuff. Well, if he's such a great player, why would you even consider letting him go? Why wouldn't you pay him his going rate and what you think he's worth?
Well, because they're probably thinking, man, $50 million for a guy who's 37, are we doing the right thing with that? You know, we've got to, I don't know. I mean, it's got to be cap related. That's what it has to be. I mean, that's
well, the cap is going up significantly. They can give him signing bonuses, convert, you know, contracts, individual contracts to signing bonuses. They can do a lot of things.
Maybe
they're
just sick of the whole deal and the fact that, you know, Kelly Stafford's out there talking about the, you know, we want to be respected and all those things. I mean, yeah, that bothers them too. It's like, I don't know, that could have something to do with
it.
Well,
I think it does. I think there's, yes, just like Aaron Rodgers saying on McAfee that he if he gets fired by a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, that the people listen, people hear things. And believe me, if I were Woody Johnson, I heard Aaron Rodgers say that after I did everything I could to get him here and support him and you know, fly out to meet him in Malibu and everything else that I did to get him here. And then I hear my quarterback taking a shot at my teenage son, even though it may have been a joke. See ya. You're gone. I mean, that's enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, coupled with the fact that he was injured for an entire year, was injured for a big portion of this year, and had a handful of good games where it looked like he could still play.
That's why I don't believe that, you know, what he said to whoever he was interviewing. Do you want Aaron Rodgers? You don't.
Yeah.
Listen, you're not going to get Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to have Aaron Rodgers. It's up to you if I hire you to get him out of here.
Right, but I can't say that publicly because it'll look like I'm doing the things that I've been accused of doing. I'm not letting you do your job.
I'm going to be a much better owner this time around.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still could. I mean, I believe that is the case, but I also think that I could see Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji saying we don't want to start with Aaron Rodgers, you know.
And I can understand why. I mean, because they're rookies at what they're doing, and they got to get a hold of that building, and the last thing they need is somebody that's going to go on TV every Tuesday nationally and make news.
Yeah. What they need is to get into that building. They got to start talking to people.
As you raise your hands while you're talking.
They got to get people together.
Bring them together, yes.
And then we got to go on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
And we got to take a look there.
But you got to get to know yourself.
Got to get to know me. Mooch.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We're just talking about the Long Island Boat Show and how they've got Twiggy the water skiing squirrel there to be viewed by the children. And their website is claiming, and the Wikipedia page as well, that this is the original squirrel from 79.
No, there's no way. There's no way.
But from 1979?
This is, all right. No, tell me if you read this.
Yeah.
Twiggy has been performing since September of 1979.
A Twiggy.
Right, exactly.
There's at least a Twiggy or 10 Twiggies, according to Grok 3 Beta.
But Grok did not determine, it didn't tell you if it was all 10 Twiggies were alive at the same time.
Let me see. There have been multiple squirrels named Twiggy, with the current Twiggy right now being Twiggy 11, it looks like. Adopted around 2020 and starting performances.
So there could be lots of Twiggies out there. Like there's, you know, Blippi. There's many Blippies out there that perform. But there's the original Blippi.
Listen, if you thought that there was a 46-year-old Twiggy, you know, on
I didn't think
water
that.
Skis,
hold on. I didn't think that they're putting this out there and making it seem like this is the original squirrel. And I am disputing that.
Well, and you're right.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The lifespan of a squirrel is up to 18 years.
And or said, 20 years in captivity.
Okay.
20 years in captivity.
What I'm saying is they're doing a bait and switch spot here because their website does not indicate that these squirrels are dying and they're doing other Twiggies.
Well, Twiggies typically have a tenure of about 4 to 5 years.
See, that's what Grok is saying.
Oh, yeah, Grok knows.
Their website, they're trying to make it seem like this is the original squirrel.
No,
that's what they're doing.
They're not doing that.
Yes, they are. I just read it to you. There's
plenty of information out there that tells you exactly what I just told you.
I mean, look at this. What I'm saying is their website, what they're doing here.
Oh, I see.
Twiggy has been performing since September of 1979, traveling all across.
A Twiggy.
But they didn't say a Twiggy. They said Twiggy. Traveling across U.S., Canada, Bermuda, Europe, and Germany. She has appeared. She has appeared. Not they. She has appeared in numerous books, magazines, newspapers, and television shows all over the world.
Man, you're all up in a lather over a water skiing squirrel this morning.
And by the way, the human Twiggy, still alive.
Is he really? Because Laverne and Shirley have both passed away.
No, that was Squiggy.
Oh, that was Squiggy, damn. Not Twiggy.
Ah, and he has passed. Squiggy.
Oh, he has.
Damn.
Yeah, Twiggy the model, right? It was a
yes.
Yeah.
Twiggy and Squiggy.
Oh, hello.
Dope. Jesus. No, I got excited there for a second because I thought there was going to be some like 50-year-old squirrel on water skis at the Nassau Coliseum. I was like, I just wanted to see him. And now it's like it's the 11th Twiggy and they're trying to pretend this is the original squirrel. I don't like it.
Hello.
All right, Jerry's here with a sports update. What's going on, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, so some sounds from the combine. We will start with the Jets and Darren Mooji not giving much on the Aaron Rodgers decision and situation.
I just want to address the Aaron Rodgers stuff, get ahead of that. I'm not going to discuss any private discussions that I had with Aaron throughout this process.
And he continued on.
I'm not here to confirm or deny any rumors that happened during that that process. I will say this. There was never an ultimatum or rules of engagement for Aaron to potentially join the Jets again. That never happened.
And I guess that was about the OTAs and the mini camps and all that stuff that he's
referencing. You're not here. We're hired. You got to go. See ya.
Here was Aaron Glenn. He was asked about, remember you had players, I forget who it was specifically.
Quinnen Williams.
With the thumbs down.
Yep.
But also there have been reports that, you know, a lot of players weren't thrilled that they don't have him coming back. Aaron Glenn was asked about that, his take.
I understand the reaction of the players. But I will say this. Every decision that me and Mooch make is to win and to win now. So I understand it. But again, listen, this is not going to be the last decision I make. Right, that's not good. That's going to upset some people. And that's okay, right? But as men, we talk about it. We make sure we keep it in house that we're going to continue to do.
And then this next one, I believe the question was: are you confident you'll find a better quarterback than Rodgers for 2025?
We're confident. We're trying to win games. So that may be. It is what it is. So and that's it. And the thing is, I don't want to disrespect any other players we have on our team. And it kind of pisses me off, and some of the other players, that that's what we all talk about. You have Quinnen Williams, you have Quincy Williams, you have AVT. Now you have Joe Tippmann. All those guys need to be respected as far as winning games also.
Yeah, you lost me on that one. I don't see the correlation in that at all. I don't see why a reporter asking a question about the quarterback position would be disrespecting the other good players on the team. Makes no sense to me, but
it feels like he's trying to set up an us against the world kind of scenario. That's what it sounds like, which is fine.
It'll be great when you go 3-14.
Well, let's hope that's not the case.
He also seems like, because I watched it, he talked for about 12 minutes. Towards the end, he's smiling and laughing, but it seems like he goes into these like angry, like expecting to get peppered with questions he doesn't want to answer. And then he kind of, you know, relaxes and laughs a little bit.
He knows what he's stepping into, believe me. He knows it better than we know it. I mean, we sit from the outside. He knows what he's inheriting. He knows where this team has been. You think he's not aware of any of that? He's buddies with Mike Tannenbaum, Bill Parcells, Sean Payton, Dan Campbell. They all know what's going on. And when Dan Campbell inherited Detroit,
right,
it's kind of like the same thing.
I mean, listen, I'm aware of Mount Everest. I'm not going to go climb it. You know, and I think you could be aware of things.
I'll tell you what.
Be aware of things. When you're there, you're like, holy crap.
What you do is you give him a lot of credit for wanting to climb Mount Everest and wanting the job.
Well, it was the only
one
he was offered.
That's the way I look at it. He wanted the job.
He did. Yeah, it was the only one he was offered, though.
But he wanted the job.
Okay. I know. But it's not like he was turning other people down to take the Jets job.
He wanted the job. He ain't got the job.
He did.
Why don't we give him a chance to see what he can do with the job?
We are, because he's the head coach.
We have no choice.
Got no choice but to watch this thing.
Here's Giants GM Joe Shane. If things don't improve, he'll be out of a job. You guys have the number 3 pick in the draft in April. What are you doing?
We're open to everything. Move up, move back. Again, it's an exciting time for a year. You know, we're starting to put that together now, put the puzzle together. So, we're going to look at all options to, you know, improve the roster going into 2025.
And obviously,
that puzzle's missing a lot of pieces.
And sitting at 3, you know, he was asked about Shador Sanders and Cam Ward.
We've done a lot of work on those two. I know a lot of people are talking about those two, but there's other quarterbacks, you know, throughout the draft, and excited to get around those guys as well.
I was telling Al, I saw one of these mock drafts yesterday.
Oh, yeah, mock draft.
That didn't even have Sanders in the top 10.
Yeah, well.
Interesting, yeah.
That Capra.
That's Capra.
And then here was one more from Shane. Well aware things have to improve.
We've got to be better. We're a 3-win team. So where we are financially, you know, from a salary cap health standpoint, we're in good shape. We have premium draft capital, so not suffocating. We have the resources to improve the roster.
Now they have to go out and actually
premium
do it.
Draft capital. Oh, yeah. That's a GM phrase for you.
Sure is.
Chew on that.
Yeah, well, it's combine time. This is what they do. This is where they get out there and they start talking, and this is the kind of language they use.
Premium draft capital.
Expect them to say.
I don't know, man. I'm trying to have some fun with it because it's boring as crap.
I know it is, but I'm just, I don't know what, I mean, that's GM speak, 100%.
Yeah. All right, in Cincinnati, you got Bengals Director of Player Development, Duke Tobin, with the media yesterday at the Combine. This was on the Jamar Chase, we've talked a lot about Chase and Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, so this is on the Chase contract situation.
Jamar is always going to be our priority. He's a fantastic football player. He's going to end up being the number one paid non-quarterback in the league. We're there. Let's get it done.
So it sounds like they're close. We shall see. Here he was on Sirius NFL Radio. What about T. Higgins?
I want him on the team. He's a good player. He fits us.
Right.
We fit him. You know, it's not a one-way street with any of these players.
So it really sounds like they're going to try and get these two things done.
Good luck. I mean, so if they tag T. Higgins, that means he'll be like at $26 million this year. And unfortunately for him, they keep him out of free agency once again, which is a screw job because this kid would get a long-term, big-time contract if he got to free agency. Meanwhile, his teammate...
Get out of the game then.
And by the way,
I'm so tired, you know.
Yeah, but just so you understand.
I do understand.
His teammate's going to make $40 million a year. And T's been there, I think, a year longer. Yeah. And he's been tagged, and he was a second-round draft choice.
My heart bleeds for him. Then get it out of the game. The players agreed to this. Did they not? Was it not collectively bargained?
Yeah, yes, it is. And there's always going to be players going to be screwed.
Correct.
So, like, my point is, if the NFL, and by the way, if an NFL team wants to move, they can move. And they have moved. And they've gotten political will behind them to use tax dollars to build stadiums. But when a player wants to move, they restrict the player. And, you know, it doesn't happen very often, but, you know, the players do not want to be tagged. They want to get the free agency. And my argument for the NFLPA would be you want to go to 18 games. You want to go to international divisions and all of this growth that you are hoping for. Then guess what? We want unfettered free agency after like 3 years.
Yeah,
the players have got to get something in return for that that's going to be significant for them to agree to it.
Yeah, and it's impossible to try to put this into real world terms because I think a lot of people say, oh, you get $26 million for 1 year, which is true. All of that is true, but it's not apples to apples.
Well, the problem with him, he could blow a knee out or blow a shoulder out or break a neck and then he's done.
Right.
Then get it out of the game.
They should. I mean,
getting it out of the game, but, you know, it's unfortunate guys like this have to go through it.
Chiefs head coach Andy Reid and GM Brett Veach did speak. This was Reid on Travis Kelce. So what is his future?
At this point, you get out of town and relax. You know, that's kind of my motto for these guys. They played a lot of games and a lot of, you know, for a consistent amount of seasons here. And so you get to the end of the thing, you've exhausted yourself mentally and physically. Step back and take care of that, then we'll talk.
And then Veach was on NFL Network. So is he playing or not?
I think so. I mean, there's been a lot of the you know, timeline and deadlines, and, you know, that's something that we...
Blah, blah, blah.
Now, did Veach say he was really sick during the Super Bowl?
What I was getting to. So the next question was, what version of Kelce, though, will you get if he comes back?
We're never going to make excuses and talk about it, but, yeah. I mean, yeah, he was battling with pretty big illness there for the Super Bowl, but... listen, the way the Eagles played, it wouldn't have made a difference.
But
I'll tell you what, watching him on tape, and I showed Gio the tape yesterday, there was something wrong with him. I thought it was maybe a shoulder injury or something, but it gives me a better understanding of what he was dealing with if he was as sick as Brett Veach is saying that he was.
Maybe he had the flu, like it's run through everybody this winter. Who knows?
It was going through I thought it was going through the Eagles.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
Didn't seem like it.
NBA tonight, Knicks take on the 76ers, who have lost 8 in a row. Nets take on the Thunder on the Fan at 7:20. Lakers, Mavericks last night as Luka Doncic saw his former team.
Now Luka gets switched over, throws it to Dorian Finney-Smith. Finney-Smith backwards to Luka. Luka's three-pointer. Good.
Wow, that's a tough shot. Two defenders on it.
And that was Lakers radio. They wound up winning 107-99. LeBron had 27. Doncic 19, but he had a triple-double. 15 rebounds and 12 assists as well. So what was it like seeing those guys?
Like I say, you know, it's a weird game, different game. But I can't even explain what kind of emotions were. It was just a lot of emotions, you know, seeing the guys out there, seeing the guys I played. I went through a lot with the guys, so it was fun.
And he was asked.
And P.J. Washington for the Mavericks was terrible last night. He was 0-for-9 field goal attempts.
That sucks. Not great. What'd your guy, what's his name? What'd Tim Hardaway do last night?
Tim Hardaway. I don't know.
Comes off the bench, nothing?
Nothing.
Okay.
Spencer Dinwiddie, 9 points.
Cavaliers beat the Magic, by 40. They are now, 48-10 on the season. They shot 19 of 32 from three.
Jeez.
So if the Knicks aren't going to defend Boston from three, yeah, you better defend Cleveland from three.
They can't beat them either right now.
Rangers-Islanders last night at UBS Arena.
Now we're talking
Arena.
Lindgren to Fox to Brzezinski to the net. He scores! Johnny Brzezinski! Rangers lead 3-1. Two-goal game for Brzezinski.
Oh,
that?
They got a goal from Urho Vakanainen.
Yeah.
The Rangers
right.
beat the
Vakanainen had, I think, like 4 points last night. The third and fourth line.
How about
the
those
defenders
lines?
All got involved.
Unbelievable.
And then Keandre Miller and Adam Fox both got hurt in this
I
game
saw.
Last night.
And Peter Laviolette gave you nothing afterwards.
Of course
so,
not.
Right. But they do win 5-1. Here was Laviolette on the effort.
I thought a really good start, a really complete game by everybody. Like, all the lines chipped in. I thought that they were good. Defense, you know, especially going down short like that. I thought they played a pretty good game, the defensemen.
Now, that's interesting. All good. The Rangers win 5-1. It doesn't seem like it was much of a game if you didn't watch it. Here was Patrick Waugh. He had quite a different take on this game. He was asked if this was demoralizing.
Not at all. If it would have been the case, we would finish 8-9-1. You know, they never stopped. We never stopped. We kept going at them, and I thought we were the best team on the ice today. I mean, did they were better than us in front of the net? Yes. But I thought we did a lot of good things.
How about that? You lose 5-1, you feel like
well,
you played
I will
better.
Say that Igor had to make a bunch of early saves.
36 again. Saves.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
I mean, he had to do what he did in Pittsburgh on Sunday that he couldn't do in Buffalo on Saturday. But, yeah, he's had two really good back-to-back games. There's no question about that.
Rangers 29-25-4 with the win. A couple of notes from spring. The Mets lost to the Astros home runs.
Who got hurt? Anybody get hurt?
Probably.
Not for the Mets.
Not the Mets, but the Yankees.
Yeah. Somebody's hurt again.
Efros, what's his name?
Scott Efros.
Yes, oh, Efros. Yeah, that's right. He pulled a hamstring.
On his first pitch.
But the Yankees lose to the Twins in that game. Fine. You know who homered for the Yankees? Might sit here until 10 o'clock. You might not get Dom Smith.
Oh, really?
Yes, he had a home run for the Yankees. And they signed him to a minor
tryout.
League deal. Yeah, essentially. Today you've got the Mets and Marlins at 110. You got the Yankees and Cardinals at 105.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The mock drafts that are put out this time of year, I think, are just to generate conversation. But I know you love Mel Kiper, and Mel Kiper had your back, and I want to throw you Mel Kiper's mock draft.
Uh-oh.
That was interesting.
All right.
But I'll do that at 7 o'clock. That's
what
I will
okay.
do. At 7 o'clock, I will throw that at you to see what you think, because it's definitely interesting. But, you know, this tush-push thing, this is where these rule changes get talked about, combine, competition committee, and all that stuff. And there's the Green Bay Packers, of course, wanted to eliminate it. A lot of other teams are bitching about it. And, you know, Nick Sirianni said that it was a little insulting to say the tush-push should be banned because the Eagles are good at it. And I actually am. I'm with him. I don't think it's insulting. I almost think it's a compliment, because no one can stop it. No one can do it as well as they can. And the only real recourse they have is to try to ban it. But I don't see what's wrong with it. I really don't.
I was a part of a team that the teams tried to ban what we were doing with our no huddle offense, and we were sick and tired of it. And Marv Levy actually had Paul Tagliabue basically tell us right before the AFC Championship game in '89 that we weren't allowed to use it. Like, we were using it all season long, and here we are in the AFC Championship game, and Marv Levy got into the office and got Tagliabue to, like, put a hold on things, and it created, like, a hysteria.
That's insane.
And our coach was crazy, and Marv was getting exactly what Marv wanted. You know, he wanted distraction.
Yeah.
Of course he did. So I know where Nick Sirianni's coming from, and by the way, one of the reasons they're really good at it, and maybe Buffalo's not so good at it, is because of the way that Jalen Hurts is built. You know, he's shorter. He gets right in behind the center and the two guards. And, you know, the pushing from behind. And it's just, it's probably really annoying for other teams to try and stop it, because they can't. And other teams can't do it just as good as they can. So I'm with you. I'm with Nick Sirianni. You know, good luck. We're not doing anything illegal. Try to stop it.
Right.
And so I get very, very difficult to stop it.
Yeah, and it's very, very difficult. And also, I mean, it's no secret that the Philadelphia Eagles have an amazing offensive line, one of the best in football, if not the best. Detroit also very, very good. And that has something to do with it, too.
Right, so Jared Goff's not good at it. Josh Allen, you think, would be good at it. I mean, he's good as a quarterback sneak guy because he's big and he's tall, but he's too tall for the tush push. And obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs knew that when he was going to do it, he was always going to go to his left, as where it basically is Jalen Hurts getting in behind the center and the guards. And because he's shorter in his size,
yeah,
and he's got big, powerful legs, that he's just really good at it. I used to hate doing the quarterback sneak because you'd always get it in the back. You'd always get a helmet in the back.
Ugh.
It was the worst. Or somebody's grabbing your pinky or something, trying to rip your hand off the ball or something like that. And the only way I think that Philadelphia would ever stop it is if he ended up getting hurt. And that may be the only way to stop it if you are an opposing defense, is to actually try to stick your helmet right in his ribs.
Yeah, or if one of their offensive linemen gets hurt and then that becomes a thing, or they drop a couple guys because of that play.
But Sirianni also said that the injuries don't seem to be a real thing like the Packers are claiming them to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's weak where you say, all right, we can't stop this thing, so let's make it illegal.
I'll tell you what,
that's never been illegal.
Just try to find, two guards around 320 and a center around 310 and put them there in the middle, and you do it with your quarterback.
Push.
In the bush. Oh, okay.
Was that a push in the bush?
I don't really know what that was.
That's what I think I heard.
Push in the bush. Yeah, all right. Well, that's Eddie and his edits.
I know
it's edits.
And it was your voice, and it was Jerry's voice. I believe it was your voice saying bush. That's what I think, if just listening to it quickly.
Yeah, I've said bush on the show, but not for the reason that you think.
Yeah, well, anyway, I hope it sticks around. Tush in the bush. I woke up today with a clogged left ear. It's driving me nuts.
Really?
Yeah. I'm telling everybody, it's like throwing off my equilibrium. I'm like walking sideways to the bathroom. I was doing that.
You were doing that?
I was in the office. It's so funny you did that, because that's exactly what I was doing. Well, I guess what people do. Maybe it's not that funny. But I was sitting in the office this morning. Like opening my mouth. I had some gum. I was chewing on gum.
We can send somebody, or we can ask DoorDash to deliver something for your ear.
Deliver what?
I don't know, like an earwax cleaner or something.
I don't think it's wax.
Is it like when an air, the cabin pressure changes
in
the airplane?
That's what. But it's only in the left ear, and it's like a, like you kind of hear like a.
Maybe it's tinnitus.
Did you try the pinch the nose and
blow out? Yeah, didn't do that either. And I really don't think it's. I really don't think it's earwax. I don't think it is. I had that situation once many years ago. My 20s, they pulled out a piece of earwax that was humongous. And I was like, I got to make sure I don't let this happen again. So it's never happened again.
Okay.
That didn't work. Damn it. Now what are you doing over there? I can't do it's not, like, what do you do? And then, of course, because with stuff like this happens to me, I'm very uncomfortable and I can't stop thinking about it. Like if I have a really clogged nose or something, I don't.
Well, that's why you got a Navage.
Right. Well, this is before I knew about the greatness of Navage. Now I don't have to worry about it. But if they added a Navage for your ears,
yes,
an Earvage, that would be awesome. So I come in here.
Maybe it has something to do with your sinuses.
It may be. But I go into, I see McMonagle this morning, and I tell him, like, man, I'm like, it's freaking ears clogged. He goes, dude, last year, my ear got clogged, and it stayed that way for 6 months. And I went, oh, my God.
What did his ear get clogged with?
It was, he said, it was
something
the same
crawl
thing
in there?
No, like, it just was like the same, like, I don't know, fluid in the ear or something or whatever the hell was in there.
You got a flea in there maybe from the dogs?
No, we don't have fleas. Come on, man. Like a household, we've got craziness in the house. It's not, we don't want fleas.
Well, you never know. A dog goes outside, you never know what they could bring in.
No, we got the flea and tick meds, man.
Okay.
You put that on them. Especially if it's winter. There's no fleas that are alive right
now. You got to make sure you're okay, like that nothing crawled in your ear overnight.
Maybe something did. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, it could be a little worm or something.
You think a worm went into my ear?
Maybe, you never know. could be like one of those little worms you don't even really see, microscopic thing.
A microscopic worm? That would be totally effed up. Now you got me thinking that.
Yeah, I think you got to go get it.
Does that happen? Is that common? Do the little microscopic worms crawl into people's ears?
You never know, but I would definitely go to an ENT. You got an ENT on call?
I do, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, go see them today.
You know, I should text that guy, actually. A professional ear cleaner? These people exist? Professional ear cleaners? Mike in Bayside. What's going on, Mike?
Yo, what's going on? Yo, this actually has a sports spin, but because in Shea Stadium 2006, I went to meet my uncle at a playoff game, and he was, like, all the way upstate. So I had, like, 3 hours to kill before 8 o'clock start.
Yeah.
So I walked to Flushing. And I found this little barber shop with all Chinese people, and I met this girl. I still have her number. I could give it to you. For, like, $18, she cleans your ears. And she has, like, a kit. It's like it's amazing. It's like a little tiny pipe cleaner. It goes up to, like, a thicker pipe cleaner. And then the last item she uses is a feather. And then she does this thing with, like, tweezers, two sets of tweezers. I guarantee you, if you go there, you're going to just thank me profusely.
Where is it?
You said
it's upstate?
No, no, it's in Queens.
Oh, No.
It's in Flushing.
Yeah, yeah, there used to be a barbershop on Roosevelt Avenue, and then after COVID, like, the whole barbershop went back to Taiwan. But I still have the girl's number. She works in this little beauty salon next to, like, a dentist. It's a really weird setup, but she's very good. I go there, like, every month, and for, like, $55, I get a shave, a hair, ear cleaning, shampoo, massage, haircut. And I usually just give her a $100 bill because I'm there for like 2.5 hours. Like, I found this girl.
Wow, you're a big spender, man. Wow, yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question. What the hell is she pulling out of your ears?
Oh, it's amazing. Because I get that same problem that Gio said. She showed me. It's usually like wax. If there has been like a bug once.
Oh,
see?
A bug in there?
Yeah, but I go upstate, like, I get, like, in my little cabin, I get, like, an ant in my ear that gets in the wax.
You got a worm in your ear or something. By the way, hold on. We're going to put you on hold. Give that number to that gal, to Al. Al will call her. I'll send an Uber to go get her, and we'll give her a hundy to come in here and check out Gio's ears this morning.
I don't know. Well, she works today. Friday's her day off. Maybe she can do it Friday. But you can go. But maybe you can do it. I don't know. Well, just go there on the way home.
Yeah, but he doesn't want that. His way, really.
I'm not going there after the show. I could find somebody closer
to
where
I live. Get the number for the girl. We'll give her a call, see if she's available. We'll get a Uber, get her over here.
I wonder if Justin Tucker would be interested in this woman, too. Sounds like she does a lot of stuff. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan at CBS Sports.
I mean, this guy gives her a hundy. I gotta give her more than that, don't you?
I don't know. I don't know how much the thing costs.
Digging around in your ears? I mean,
maybe she's only cost like $25 and then he gives her $100.
As Deion Sanders would say, that's nasty.
Yeah, and now I'm all freaked out. Now I'm just picturing a ant in wax struggling to get out. It's in my ear. That's all I'm thinking about.
I'm telling you, it'd be a worm. Flea, worm.
There's no fleas. I'm telling
you. Some other microscopic organism.
If it was microscopic, it wouldn't be clogging
in
my ear. Huh?
Being your ear could like knock you off a little bit.
No, this is clogged, man.
You think it's clogged?
It's a clogging.
Yeah, so then you need this gal to come and come here and handle this thing. Clean this bad baby out before 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't think this gal's going to be coming here.
Why? What do you mean?
I have a feeling that she's not. He just said it was her day off.
No, Friday's her day off.
Oh. Friday, that's what he said. I thought he said today's her day off. Maybe
she's working today.
So I got it. I got confused there.
Yeah, John's got a good idea. Johnny, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
I got the solution for Gio's ear.
Yeah.
So you gotta take two fingers on the top of your bridge of your nose and kind of pop that, like, to get the air. And then whichever ear is clogged, take your pinky and try to, like, force the air in and out. This is the only thing that's worked for me, but I've dealt
with... Well, hold on. All right, explain this again. So I got to put two fingers on the bridge of my nose.
and kind of like, you know, when you have like a massage it kind of, and okay. and then take your pinky and keep pushing it in and out of whatever your ear is clogged, and it could put the air to flow one way in or out.
Keep massaging you. He's got to keep massaging his sinuses, right? His nasal cavity.
It actually is. It actually.